the Declaration of Independence. 56 people signed it. I was going to read you the names and see if you knew who they were. But you would recognize Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and Samuel Adams and, you know, some of those more familiar names. But, you know, in that they said, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. That's a fancy way of saying God, isn't it? With a firm reliance on God. And this is the greatest statement in the whole thing. We mutually pledge to each other. That phrase is so important, to each other. Our lives, our fortune, our sacred honor. And when you consider what they were doing in declaring independence from an oppressive king, the move they were making was incredible. It was pioneering, and it was extremely risky. Had they not given their heartfelt vow to stand together, no matter the cost, no matter what it cost, had their faith and devotion to the cause been half-hearted, others would not have followed in their zeal. And the America we know would never have come to pass. It was so delicate that they had to stand and band together. Of course, those 56 people did not do it on their own, nor did they make the decision on their own. They were the ones that signed the bottom of the page in representation of the people on this land. Surely there were some who thought they were rabble-rousers, rebels. They should just leave well enough alone and pay the taxes and deal with it. And any time someone takes a stand in opposition to repugnant government, there will be those who say you shouldn't do that. There will be those who say what you're doing is unchristian, ungodly, and you should just be a good citizen and leave it alone. Again, had they not stood together, had enough of them, of the other people, seen the zeal of these 56 men and admired that and said, they really mean this. Had those citizens of this land not stood with them, it would not have succeeded. But they had a common cause. Benjamin Franklin cited as saying, we must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately. That's how important it was. They knew what they were doing was dangerous, but they did it anyway. They knew that there might even be some of their neighbors that didn't agree, but they did it anyway. They took a stand. They pushed back, and they rallied the people, and they made a difference. Five were tortured by the British as traitors. Nine died in the Revolutionary War, and 12 had their homes pillaged and burned. But they had vowed their fortunes, their lives, and their sacred honor. They went in with a total commitment. And it is reflective of what we see in Mark chapter 16 as Jesus had gathered many. Look, he didn't just gather 12. He gathered 12 specifically that he named apostles, but we see that he sent 70, two by two, to go out and evangelize and to let people know Jesus was coming. And he gave them a commission, and then that group of 12 and then 70 grew to thousands, and we see hundreds standing with him as he over 100 standing with him as he ascended back into heaven after he was crucified, rose from the dead, ministered among the people another 40 days. And we see that those 12 stayed strong. Well, 11 of them did anyway, didn't they? But remember what we talked about this morning, that many of his disciples left and never came back. So was Judas one of those? No, there were many more. He hung in there even beyond that. Maybe that was one of the things as he saw other people walking away. Maybe that planted something deeper in his heart that said, I need to make my timing right. But we know that Judas is, the son of perdition. We know that he was a plant, that he was there on purpose, for purpose. Because at some point, Jesus, the whole plan was not for him to come and live a good life and be a good example and start the church and then just hang out with them till he died. No, the plan was crucifixion. The plan was a sacrificial lamb in Jerusalem on that Temple Mount outside the city. The plan was for that perfect blood of the spotless lamb to be poured out to wash our sins away. And somebody had to set him up, and that was Judas Iscariot. Of course, he fulfilled the plan. After he did it, he felt bad about it. Is he in heaven? Nobody knows, do we? We can't imagine that he would be. But the truth is, we see his penitent heart. He felt like he had done something wrong. Did he talk to God about it? I don't know. Don't have that. Be interesting to see when we get there. But these 12 men, the apostles, James, killed by a sword. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Peter and his brother Andrew, both crucified. Bartholomew, also called Nathanael, was skinned alive. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned to death. John, the other son of Zebedee, the youngest, the one that's, the one who Jesus loved, he was a kid, basically, in the time that Jesus was ministering. And he was not martyred. He is the one that gave us the book of Revelation from the Isle of Patmos. But he died natural causes. He was boiled. They tried to kill him by boiling him, but he didn't die. Isn't that incredible? Judas, Thaddeus, was martyred in Iran. Matthew, also called Levi, was martyred in Ethiopia. Simon Zelotes was also crucified. Thomas was martyred in India. Philip was martyred. And Matthias, who's Matthias? He was the one that was chosen after. He was added as the 12th to replace Judas Iscariot. He was decapitated with an axe. These were the men who were closest to Jesus. These were the 12 who walked with him. They saw him walk on water. Some of them saw him turn water to wine. They saw him raise the dead and heal the sick and the deaf and the mute. The boy that was, had the seizures, the devil in him, it says. They saw Jesus. They knew the miracles were real. They handed out the bread and the fish to feed the thousands. They knew where it came from. How much do you have? Not enough for us. Well, bring it to me. And he blessed it and multiplied it. Y'all have anything to eat? No, but this little boy just walked up with his lunch. He offered it up. Well, let's use it. Multiplies it. Thousands and thousands eat. And they take up 12 baskets of fragments afterward. They forgot them, didn't take them on the boat. But they had leftovers. You ever get your leftovers and leave it on the table at the restaurant? The apostles did that too. If those 12 men knew something different, don't you think at least one of them would have cracked before he got his head cracked open? Those 12 men, knowing that they saw Jesus crucified, knowing that they saw him placed in a tomb, they know where the tomb was, knowing that when they came the next Sunday, he wasn't in there anymore, knowing that they met him in the upper room, knowing that they walked with him after the resurrection, knowing that they saw him ascend into heaven, they could not deny what they were eyewitnesses to. And so they devoted their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. They put their names in this book on letters that they wrote, on messages that they wrote. Matthew gave us a gospel. John gave us a gospel. John gave us letters. Luke was not an apostle. He got all of this information that he gathered from other people and, of course, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But those who walked with Jesus, James and Jude, they gave their lives. Would they have done that for a lie? Would they have done that if they knew there was a trick? Did he really heal the lame? Yes, he did. Was that man really dead that he raised up? They were already carrying his coffin outside the city. Jesus never went to a funeral he didn't interrupt and cancel. He went to the tomb of Lazarus. They were there. They said, he whom you love is sick. Oh, you need to go take care of your friend Lazarus. You love him and he's sick. And Jesus said, okay, well, we'll get there. They waited a few days. They said, Lord, are you really going to wait this long? He said, look, he's already dead. There's nothing that we going quicker is going to change. And besides that, by Jewish tradition, you're not really dead till you've been dead for 4 days. So what did Jesus do? He showed up on the fourth day after he had been declared dead for sure. And he looked, he said, roll the stone away. And he said, Lazarus, come out of there. Lazarus came in. He was wrapped in his grave clothes, wrapped up for burial. And you know what Jesus said to the church? Y'all know what he said. He said, loose them and set them free. Guys, that's what the church is here for. We're here to equip people for this new life. They've been saved. They accept Christ their Savior. They're buried with Him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life, and they're committed to the church for the church to help them find their way out of their grave clothes that they've been wearing for so long. They held their testimony of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, ascension, and deity. The Bible says in verse 15, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I wonder what did the apostles do after the ascension? Well, we know he said, stay in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high and the Holy Ghost came upon them. That's the day we call Pentecost. It was 50 days after the resurrection. And they received the Holy Ghost anointing. And then what? They went and ministered. You see where these people died. Iran, Ethiopia, India. Many of them were in Turkey, the modern day Turkey. All around. They didn't stay in Jerusalem. After the ascension, after the Pentecost, they went out and started working. Spreading the gospel. Because that's what he told them to do. Go ye into all the world. Where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. In the uttermost parts of the earth, everywhere. But where did he tell them to start? Start where you are. Start where you are. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that's what the apostles did. And you say, why is that stuff about poison and serpents in there? Don't y'all remember Paul? As he landed on that island and he went to warm himself by the fire, a snake came up out of the pit and bit him. And they said, ooh, God got him. And he shook that snake off and he didn't die. And they said, oh, he's a god. Why? Because that was one of the signs. That was one of the things that did happen. He's not saying, Capitol Heights Baptist Church, take up serpents and drink poison. He's not saying that. I was talking to the camp manager down there the other day, and he said since he's been working out there, he's been bitten by 13 rattlesnakes. And I said, what happened? He said, well, you just, you know, you treat it. Sometimes you go to the doctor. Sometimes you just throw up and keep working. But he just kept going. And not always deadly, but that, I still don't encourage messing with them. So then after the Lord had spoken to them and was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following them. It was not only real when Jesus did it, it was real when they did it. Guys, I know there are people who doubt the book. I know there are people who wonder, how can it be true? But these 12 men, above all, gave all. So we could have the message of the hope and love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Now I ask you, as we look at the zeal of those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence and said, we commit everything, and they did. And some paid that price. And we look at those who've paid our freedom forward over and over again, shouldn't we be mindful to love this great country that was bought with such a high price? And shouldn't we, as God's people, be ever more determined to have the zeal to go out in the same spirit of the apostles and say, we know it's true. Because we know Him. Shouldn't we share that with others? They are lost and dying and going to hell. And their only hope is Jesus. Let's stand. Father, we do love you so much. We thank you for this country, for all those who made that vow up to their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. We're thankful for those who made it home. We pray for those families who still suffer the loss of those who did not. God, we pray that you will strengthen us, guard our hearts and minds, that you will renew our love for America, that you will renew our love for what is right, that you will renew in us a zeal for the gospel, that we would say tonight, we give all for this truth. Use us for your glory this week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.